back in the day, before radio, TV, and the small screen entertained us, when people wanted to take a break, maybe take in a good story or dip into politics, they looked to live theater. That was certainly true in the U.S., where vaudeville was the form of commercial entertainment for folks through the late 19th century. And it was especially true in Mexico. Did you know that Mexico's theatrical tradition goes crazy far back, even to pre-contact times? In the more modern era, tent shows traveled all over the country, providing some social glue across a big, quickly evolving nation.
They became really popular, of course, because they gave access to all the audiences. Anybody could go. It was not expensive. It was fun. It had all of it. It had music and dancing and theater and all of these things.
Today, we're going to be talking about this new project in Detroit that casts teens from the city in a production that draws on these tent shows called Las Carpas.
Telling the story of every single person. That sounds like too much work.
Claro, no es nada fácil, but we can do this. We can all do it together.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This Detroit company, which is called La Carpa Theater, in a nod to the traditional form, has 2 weeks of live performances under its belt and 2 more weekends to go for the show Mucho Gusto, Nice to Meet You. The experimental artist who hatched this project is Carilu Alarcón Forshi. Hey, Carilu, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Also here with us is Gabriel Rodriguez. He's 17, and for the show, he has taken on the role of the great singer and actor, Jorge Negrete. Hey, Gabe, thanks for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Let's start off with a little groundwork. The show that you created is in the tradition of these traveling theaters that, like I said, used to tour Mexico in the early 20th century. They were called Las Carpas. Carilu, can you tell us a little bit about what those shows would have been like?
Yes. Well, back in the day, these carpas were a result of the revolution in Mexico. So it was kind of like an entertainment for people, you know, to distract themselves from the stress, from the political stress. And also, it was a platform that gave a voice to communities that were invisible back in the day. So that's how it started. And then when it started happening, they became so popular that then a lot of like the actors and actresses that were so famous in Mexico in the age of the golden film, all of them came from Las Carpas. So that's how they started. And then they moved on to the film.
Yeah. It's evident from reading about it that the performers must have been pretty skilled. I mean, grabbing the attention of a live audience fast and keeping things moving and dealing with hecklers. I mean, what kind of skills would this kind of tradition require?
I think the key and a staple for Las Carpas is improvisation. So that was what all of them were very good at. And they were good at improvising in music, in dancing, and in theater. They could go from like a sketch to singing a song to dancing a set and making stuff up as it went. And they adapted to whatever the circumstances were, which is interesting because when you have to pop up with your mobile theater in different locations, that's what you have to do. You have to adapt to outdoor performances are difficult in nature, you know, sound-wise, different types of audiences, the weather, you know. So I think in every single area, they had to improvise production-wise and performing.
Just working with what they had. I mean, the comedy also, it seems like it involved a lot of physical comedy, you know, real old-school slapstick skills.
Yes, and our best comedians in Mexico came from Las Carpas, and that's the humor they had, you know, it was a slapstick and simple, but with like a lot of intention and content, which I think it's very interesting. You know, they were using that, but also like talking about the issues that the communities were facing or the obstacles they were facing. It was like a platform also for them to speak up about like the problems they had with whoever was in the power position, you know, from back in the day. So it was their space, their free space to criticize the government and that sort of thing as well.
So this show, sort of building on that tradition, mucho gusto, nice to meet you. Everybody in the cast chose characters from real life to adapt into the show. And I know that some of the performers picked more recent historical figures, Rita Moreno or Selena, you know, characters that, you know, people might recognize. Gabe, your character, Jorge Negrete, is based on this actual actor and singer. And when I think about his persona, I mean, what is it, like a combination of Elvis and Clark Gable, maybe, you know, a total rock star, but also like real screen charisma? Mm-hmm. Is that close?
For my portrayal of the character Jorge Negrete for the show, I kind of wanted to give it more of a comical tone. Mm-hmm. So originally in real life, he was a very famous musician, opera singer.
Voz de la guitarra mía, al despertar la mañana, quiere cantar su alegría. A mi tierra mexicana.
But one of the aspects of his personality that I kind of somewhat characterized was his arrogance, because often a lot of his interviews or a lot of the statements he would say would come off as somewhat arrogant because of his upbringing.
He thought well of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So do you play him as like being very aware of that, or just sort of the guy who he doesn't even know what a pain he's being to other people?
Yeah, I played him off as how would you say it? Blissful ignorance. That's what I would call it. He recognizes that people don't exactly like him, but he still keeps going. Because he is Jorge Negrete.
He's a great guy. What can you say? Well, do you sing in the show?
Yeah, often. I think everyone has to sing in the show. We have a lot of musical sections to our La Carpa performance.
Have you always been a singer?
Prior to the show, I did sing for other theater shows I put on, but this was the first time I had a big play like this.
Mm-hmm.
So no prior training or nothing like that.
Yeah. Carilu, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the genesis of the project. I know that you came up with the idea for Mucho Gusto before the pandemic started. Can you explain how it came to you and why this seemed like a good kind of space to work with teen artists?
Yes, of course. Yes. Well, I applied for funding in 2019, actually. So it was before the pandemic when I learned that I was granted the support. I have been a teaching artist in Southwest Detroit for like 12 years now. And I really, in the back of my head, you know, I always worked for different organizations, but I wanted to do this idea I had where like the kids would actually do something that represented them. Somehow, you know, like not only character wise or not only like the show, but like also the style of the theater came from Mexico. You know what I mean? So everything would be like rooted in like their backgrounds or the backgrounds of their families. And I thought it was a good idea for them to explore and maybe learn about characters they didn't know and embrace that, or learn, you know, about like all of these amazing celebrities from the Latin American culture that came before and that were trailblazers and did amazing things, right? So I thought, how can we do that? And also talk about that, but also talk about them. How can we do a combination of like the teens sharing some of their background and their stories as Latin Americans, but also like explore that, right? So then I'm like, well, sitting with my collaborator, Elton Monroy, in his house, I was like, you know what? Like, what if like we bring all of these characters to the table, but what if also we mix that with the stories of the youth, right? So I don't want to spoil it, but the show is comedy at first, and then it has a spin. Mm-hmm. Where you go from this party at Frida's house with all of these characters from the past and the present to the lives of the teens and to their present experience.
When we come back, more on that party at Frida Kahlo's house and how those teens in Detroit are finding their own voices through learning about those incredible Hispanic icons.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Karilu, can I ask you to just explain the storyline and if it is static from show to show?
So the setting is at Frida Kahlo's house. She has prepared a party at her house, La Casa Azul, to gather all of these trailblazers. And some know each other, some don't, because it's past and present. So the premise is that this is a celebration. We're going to celebrate, she says, la Latinidad, you know, being Latino, being having accomplished so much with the obstacles and whatever that meant back in the day. So everybody shows up, not at the same time, you know, some arrive late to the party. And like, so we start learning from all of these characters. So we go from everybody has a moment to talk about the struggle they had and also their accomplishments. So in a very comedic style, we learn about all of these characters and their accomplishments. So that's how the show starts evolving. And then there's the shift where something happens in the show that we are now in Southwest Detroit with these teens that have something to say. So it was a lot of fun. And then actually, Gabriel is an excellent writer, and he wrote some poetry for the show too. So I'm excited for people to experience that. He's a very good writer.
Please, please, Gabe, I hope you can take this question in the spirits it's intended. It seems to me that this is a great form for a lot of reasons. I mean, first of all, you know, people getting a chance to tell their own stories on a stage is always makes for interesting stuff. You know, having people sing in a really fun way is awesome, even if they're not, you know, trained singers, so to speak.
Yeah.
And teenagers, like, you know, teenagers are capable of great feats of physical comedy, but I mean, they're also kind of shy, you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know what I mean? Like sometimes Yes. It's hard for people to come out of themselves like that. Karilu, first of all, could you say how you knew you could make this work? And maybe Gabe also just sort of what you've seen of the cast, you know, sort of coming out of their shells a little bit in the show.
Well, how I thought I could make it work is I knew there was a need for this, and I wanted it to be a vehicle for these kids to also embrace not only their culture or like their, you know, history, but also who they are now, you know? So I knew this would be a space for human connection, for feeling, for a sense of belonging. So I knew that that would be very important and needed. So I think that makes it easier when we are getting this from art. And then once I had the funding, we just started. A lot of the teens, I had worked with them before. So it was for me great news for me that I would be able to work again with them in a more professional setting with more funding, you know, and Gabriel mm-hmm. is one of those kids that I know since he was 9. So it was very exciting that he was he was not too old, you know, to to come back and to be in the project. So definitely that was how we gathered the kids that we worked with.
Yeah. Gabe, could you maybe speak to sort of how you saw people, you know, leaning into the material or learning to lean into some of this?
With our show being about identity and how people view themselves, how people identify themselves from their past and their present, I think one of the most important things about the show is the vulnerability that the actors and the cast are putting into their performances, because it's not easy being on stage and giving out a whole spiel about your life and your struggles and your own issues, because these are teenagers. Often a lot of teenagers struggle with social anxiety, public speaking. And through this program, I was lucky enough to be able to see all these amazing cast members, not only grow a friendship with them, but also see them grow from their first day entering La Carpa to their latest performances. I see the growth, not just in their confidence, but also in their attitude, you know, like, they feel proud of themselves.
This is the Carpa. Bienvenida. This is the place.
The place.
The place to be seen, to be heard, and to be valued. Así que, dígame, ¿qué es tu historia?
My story? Well, I am. Yo soy, no sé, Consuelo. I don't know my story. What do you mean by that?
Pues ahí están detalles, señorita. Here in La Carpa, we own our voice. We share our story and we welcome everyone. Sean todos, todos bienvenidos a La Carpa Theater.
Gabe, would you say that being involved in the show has asked some new things of you? Maybe some things that you didn't know you had in you that you found yourself trying out?
Mm-hmm. Well, prior to the show, I actually wasn't aware of who Jorge Negrete was. And I feel like a lot of the cast members were also in the same field as me. Mm-hmm. They were not aware of these famous Hispanic legends. So coming here, we got to learn more about our histories. And through that, we learned a lot about ourselves.
Yeah. I wonder if you would, I know this is sort of impromptu, but would you be comfortable maybe sharing a little bit of what you wrote for the show, the poetry that Carilu mentioned?
Yeah, not to spoil anything from the show, so I'll just give out the first couple verses.
Sure.
I am a fretful sloth. I wonder if I'll be awake today. I hear a blaring siren. I see a trail of regrets. I hope to awake to a passion unseen. I am a drowsy sloth. Yo pretendo haber mi camino. I feel stagnant in the frozen sea. I touch a pale body, grimace carved like stone. I wonder if I'll ever see that corpse breathe with glee. I cry in my sleep, for to awake would dry those tears.
Gabe, is this a kind of writing that you had done before?
Truthfully, that was my first ever poem that I've ever made.
Way to go.
I was happy with the outcome, I guess. One of the best aspects about the show is the later half of the performance. Ms. Carilu mentioned earlier that there's a opening section which introduces the characters and all of their history. In the second half, it goes more into the personal aspects of the performers themselves.
Right.
So the poetry it's written in the perspective of the actual cast instead of the characters that they're portraying. So a lot of these poems are honestly very personal, and it's a beautiful thing to see such young children. I'm thinking some of the younger cast members, 11, 13. And it's honestly amazing to see the words that they are able to say, like, open, public, and without fear. It's amazing.
Gabriel Rodriguez is one of the performers in the show. Mucho gusto. Nice to meet you. We've also been talking with Carilu Alarcón-Forshi. She's the director of La Carpa Theater Project. The last two performances are coming up here August 12th and 13th at the De Quindercut Freight Yard, and the 20th and the 21st at the Congregation, both those locations, obviously, in Detroit. Gabe, Carilu, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your process.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes to listen to anytime you want at michiganradio.org. Today's pod episode was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Our editor is Rachel Ishikawa. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Ronia Kabansag, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis, and our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're having a great day out there. See you tomorrow.